week. Vayikra el Moshe. And this is the beginning of the book of Leviticus. God calls to Moshe. And it doesn't say Vayikra Hashem. Vayikra Elikim. It says Vayikra el Moshe. And the Vayikra, and he called, has a little aleph. You know, there are three sizes that a letter can have. It can be a normal size, it can be larger than life or smaller than life. And this one has a small aleph. Vayikra el Moshe. And it's almost as though it were written and the calling came to Moshe. Isa b'medrash, we learn in the medrash. Kama po'omim his hero ha-toiru al-hager. How many times does the Torah tell us to be careful not to hurt the feelings of the stranger, the ger, the convert, the proselyte who comes to us from somewhere else, who joins us? How many times did the Torah tell us to love the ger? Arboim u'shmoyne po'omim, 48 times. Neged, arboim u'shmoyne po'omim be'er ha-kosu b'toyra. 48 times in the Torah we are told the word be'er, which means a well of water. We find it the first time when Eliezer, when Hagar meets the angel by the well, and we find it again where Eliezer encounters Rivka by the well, and Yaakov encounters Rachel by the well, and Moshe encounters Tzipor by the well, and the well keeps on coming up. And then of course there was the Be'er, the well that followed us through the Midbar, through the wilderness for 40 years. 48 times in the Torah it says the word well. And this, the Gemara says, corresponds to the 48 times that the Torah tells us to be careful of the feelings of the ger. Ho'inim b'zeh, the Ishbitz explains, ki isa b'gemora, we learn in the Gemara Rosh Hashanah, chamishim sha'arei bino nivru'u b'olam. There are 50 gates of wisdom in the world. V'kulam nitnu l'moshe chosa echad, and all but one of them were given to Moshe. Nimtze sh'yesh l'moshe Rabbeinu memtes. So Moshe Rabbeinu has 49 of the 50 gates of wisdom. L'chol Yisrael memches, and the Jewish people, we have 48 gates of wisdom. She'ein b'yecholtam l'hagia l'madregis Moshe Rabbeinu ala b'shulem, because it's impossible for us to reach that level that Moshe Rabbeinu reached. Ki lo yikam novi k'moshe, because there never arose a prophet like Moshe. L'chein, therefore, ein yecholim l'hagia rak l'mem chesu. The Jewish people, all of us, we can only reach that 48th level. The neged zeh, and corresponding to this, tziv gam kein memches po'omim be'er b'toyru, the Torah also mentions the word well 48 times. So this is the Ishbitz are making this connection between the number of times well is mentioned and the number of gates of wisdom. What's the connection? Ki be'er, a well, also in the book of Deuteronomy begins that it was in the 11th month, on the first of the month, Hoyel Moshe Be'er Es HaTorah Hazois. Moshe begins to explain the Torah. And Deuteronomy, why is it called Deuteronomy? Because it's a repetition. In the Hebrew it's called Mishnah Torah, the repetition of the Torah. We get the Ten Commandments a second time, and we get most of the laws that had been previously given at length. We get them in a shortened version in Mishnah Torah in the book of Deuteronomy. And that exposition of the Torah is called Be'er. Leva'er means to explain at length, to dredge, to really dig into, to give a fundamental explanation of something is called Leva'er. If I explain something in such a way that when I'm finished, you feel satisfied, that is called Be'er. And that is tied in to the word that means the well. Ki Be'er moira al cheshik v'rotzen l'divrei Torah, because the word Be'er, The concept of the well is desire and the will for to receive, to acquire the Torah. Ve'al yedei ha'cheshek, and it's only because of the desire and the longing, ve'hakivui, and the waiting and the hoping. The word hakivui, kivui here is the same word as hatikva, meaning the hope, right? Sheho'odam mitzaper, that a person just longs and waits and trusts and reaches out ledivrei Torah to get the Torah. Yochol liknois kol ha'memches she'orem. See, it's not about how smart or how intellectual or how scholarly or even how diligent a person applies himself to the Torah. It all boils down and depends on desire. How much I desire the Torah. How much I want to know. How much and how deep my longing for the Torah is. And that's the connection with the ger, with the convert. The convert that comes to us and wants to become a Jew, where does that come from? It also only comes from the tremendous desire and the longing that this person finds in himself or in herself. Because the chain isn't there. That chain of connection which goes back through Avraham Avinu, that chain of Jewish birth that goes back through the mothers all the way to Sarah and to God, who says, you know, this time next year Sarah will have a child, and that, you know, the way we've explained in the Me'ah Shiloyach, that this is, you know, God on earth, right? Avraham says, please God, why don't you show the whole world who you are? And God says, yeah, I will. And this is Yitzchak, right? And Yitzchak comes through his mother Sarah. We are all descended through our mothers. So we have this connection. That connection you can only have if you're born from the seed of the mothers and the fathers. So where does the ger, where does it come from that he has this connection? And the answer is from the desire. And corresponding to this, there were 48 boards from which the Mishkan, from which the tabernacle was assembled. The walls were made of kroshim, which were basically boards. And there were three walls of them. And they made up the sanctuary and then the Holy of Holies in a shape like a ches. And on top of that, they put tapestries and such. And it had to be made of 48. Exactly 48. And it also says in the Zohar, that every day from the garden flowing, there's a river that flows to Eden, or from Eden to irrigate the world, so to speak. It's like a river that flows out of God, and it has every day 48 drops of fresh water. So now, if we look at the verse, Vayikro el Moshe, and the calling came to Moshe, what it means, Krio hitchuka v'kivoy belev, the calling is Moshe's desire. Vayikro el Moshe, and it was Moshe who had this tremendous longing. It was to him that the longing came. And because God puts into Moshe this level of longing that not even any of us could experience, Moshe brings down yet another level of Torah, of Bino, which is the 49th gate. Vayikru al Moshe, this is the second Torah. Call to Moshe, the calling to Moshe. Ksiv, it is written, Vohoyo terem yikru v'ani e'ana. God says, before they call to me, before they call out, I will answer them. Uyid hei medabrim, they're still speaking, v'ani eshmo, and I listen. So the Ishbitz says, me'achash she'ashem yizborach oyna, since God has already answered the person, ma'inyan oyid ledaber levakish, so why is the person still speaking and begging? Right? If before they've called out, I've already answered. So what is the person calling for? So obviously it doesn't mean that the response comes before the call. It means something else. Ach kikriya hainachuka vitzipui. Calling, to call, means that you experience inside you longing. You experience and decide inside you a desire. V'hu amru, God says, terem yikru'u, before they call, v'ani ena, I will answer, hainu, terem shiyovoi b'lev hameyachel la'ashem shum cheshik ledover, before a person can really experience longing and desire as real, as oina has Hashem yizborach, so God has already answered. V'hu shemevahir meliboy kol chemdus v'chol minut cheshkes l'shem dovah sheba'olam. You see, before we can experience our longing for God, before we can experience the desire of the desire, God has to help us by removing the desire for everything else. You see, we were learning what is the meaning of tzimtzum, right? Everybody knows before God created the world, he made tzimtzum. What does it mean? So there are different explanations. So this is deep. God says, I want. God says, I desire. You know, for God to desire, that's like saying there's an empty space in God. That's like saying God needs. God's saying, I need something. Right? For God to say, I want, we experience a difference between wanting and willing. But, you know, for God, that's the same thing, right? I will. I will do this. I want to do this. I want. We are what God wants, right? So God expressed a desire for us, which is a way of God saying there's an emptiness in me, right? In that emptiness, in God, is where the world comes into existence. That's the place, so to speak, which is devoid of God. And this is like an understanding of Tzimtzum. You don't have to see it in a metaphysical way, the light, God draws the light to the sides and stuff. You see, like, God experiences an empty place. You know, each of us, we have inside us an empty place, right? You can think of it as a God-shaped hole that we each of us have inside us, a place that is unfillable, that is just, the only thing in there is longing and desire. But you know, it's a God-shaped hole, right? We live in a world. Since the beginning of time, we've lived in a world where we experience that as desire for something. You can fill in the blank, right? Every person at a different time in their life experiences that empty place as an experience of longing for something, a desire for something, or for someone, or for some experience. Right? If it's sex, if it's drugs, if it's rock and roll, doesn't matter, right? It could be food, it could be companionship. We all experience that. But that's not what it really is. If we really get down past all the things, then we experience inside us the longing, and it's God's longing. It's the desire, it's the divine, it's the infinite desire. It's the Rav of the Ravin. It's the moment that comes before creation when God says, I want to want. I want to want. So, if you want to experience that, then there first has to be like a recognition that that feeling inside really is a God-shaped hole. That's a really high madrega, that's a high level of experience where you get past all the bullshit and realize that inside there's a desire for the divine and that only the divine can fill that space, that emptiness, that shape is a God shape. And then nothing else can fill it. And some of us go through a whole life and never realize that. And then some of us are lucky and we experience that vast and profound emptiness, and it's a shock, and it's naked, and it's the experience of the God-shaped hole inside. And the Ishbitzer says that this is a gift. And before they call me, I will have answered them by clearing it all out so that they can experience. So what I add is a byword, anybody who has spent time detoxing from, you know, any of the experiences, or whether it's a drug or alcohol or gambling or whatever it is, knows that there comes a time when you realize that all that stuff, those activities, that addiction to, you know, the feeling, the rush, the endorphin rush, or whatever it was, right? It was just covering that up. So the answer that God gives the person before they call is Shemavaya Milibui Kol Achemdus V'Kol Minu Tcheshkis L'Shem Dovah Bo'olam. God has swept that hole, that emptiness, that longing, clear, clean of stuff. V'Al Yedei Zeh Ya'aseh Mokem B'Lev Ha'odam, and that makes a place in the heart of a person, that person can then just desire God. So this is ועל ידי זה יעשה מוקים בלב האדם שיוכל לצפה ולקבל לרצון השם יתברך ואחר כך יוכל לקבל בליבו תשוקה. And that's what makes it possible for the person to, you know, experience the longing, the desire, and to receive it. Because if a person is still caught up in seeing their desires as being four things, then if God allows that person to experience real powerful desire, it's destructive. It's going to end up in an overdose, right? So that's the gift. V'oz, then the Ishbitzer goes on to say, Oid he medabrim v'ani eshmo. They speak, they're still speaking. V'ani eshmo, and I listen. V'zeho inyan hu kan, and this is what happened here. The Ishbitzer is saying, this is talking about Moshe. What happened? Kishenigma haMishkan, at the end of the book of Genesis, the end of the book of Exodus, what did we have? We had the assembly, everybody came together, they built the tabernacle, the Mishkan, and then finally it's finished. It's written, Moshe couldn't come to the temple, to the tent of meeting, because of the cloud that was on it. So, the Ishbitzer does a little psychological profile of Moshe at that point. He says, "As choshev Moshe bedatoi, how did Moshe read what was happening? You know, we read the Bible, we know what's going to happen next, right? Because we were here last year. Moshe didn't have any way of predicting what was going to happen next, right? So he thought to himself like this. She'ad ato, he said, up till now, hoy esek Hashem yisburach, in Yisro b'divrei Torah, God and the Jewish people were interacting through the Torah. God came down at Sinai and gave the Ten Commandments. And this was my job, to teach the Torah to the Jewish people. But then they worshipped the golden calf, and the Ten Commandments are broken. And God says, V'osuli migdash v'shachanti b'soicham, let them make a sacred place, a sanctuary, and I will come and dwell among them. Right? So Moshe thought to himself, I was chosen to be the conduit through which the Torah is given from God to the Jewish people. And I was the chosen one to teach it. Yeah, I'm Moshe Rabbeinu, right? I'm the teacher, the Rebbe. But now that there's the Mishkan, now that there's the sanctuary with these sacrifices, and a liturgy, and ritual, and Kohanim, and Leviim, this is Dovah Chodosh, this is something new. La'asokim Yisrael, this is, God is going to now interact, and there's a new dynamic. Well, is there, Aaron or Anevcha, and you know, now it's not me, I'm not the chosen one anymore. My brother Aaron, he's the chosen one. That was how Moshe read what was happening. And then the Ishbitzer goes on to say, Ube'emes, Hoyle Moshe Rabbeinu Tovis Eile Aaron, it's not like Moshe was jealous. It's not like Moshe couldn't stand to see Aaron now wearing the crown of leadership. It's not like Moshe couldn't, you know, have generosity of heart or something. But Moshe had that longing for the word of God. So Moshe sat there waiting to hear from God, because that was Moshe's whole life. Moshe didn't want anything else. That's the meaning of the verse Vayikra El Moshe. And the calling, the desire, the longing is there for Moshe. May Ohel Moed, from the tent of meeting, meaning that it was the tabernacle and it was the setting up of this Mishkan sanctuary that caused Moshe's desire to grow, because he stopped hearing from God. And he interpreted it to mean that his job was basically over. And so he just sat there waiting. Because he didn't have any desire for anything else. Because that's his name. What does Moshe mean? I have drawn him. Batya, who names him, right? His mother called him Tuvia. Then she put him into the Nile in a basket, and Pharaoh's daughter pulls him out, and she calls him Moshe. Why? Because I have pulled him from the water. No, the Ishbitzer says you can't have it clearer than that. This is a man without any desire except for that water, right? He's been pulled out of the water. Water is like we just said, right? That's why God chooses Moshe again, the first. Before they call, I answer, meaning that before they experience desire, I've already cleaned their heart out of all the rubbish. And Moshe Rabbeinu again just has another flow of desire, and that brings down the book of Leviticus, which is the Torah of the Korbanot. Yes, it's true that Aaron is now, you know, going to be the intermediary, so to speak. Aaron, the Kohanim, the Levites, you know, there's a new way of worshipping God that involves sacrifices. But there's a Torah of the new way, and that's the book of Vayikra of Leviticus. And Zehu, and this is the meaning of the verse, Oid Hei Medabrim. They're speaking more. Va'ani Eshba, and I'm listening, says God. Because the speaking that Moshe is now going to do in the book of Leviticus is God listening. So then the Torah tells us, Odom ki yakriv mikem korban Hashem, a man when he'll offer from among you a sacrifice to God. So the Ishbitzer says, v'leksiv Odom mikem, it doesn't say a man from among you who offer a sacrifice to God. It says a man who will offer a sacrifice from among you. What's the difference? Zemoira, this teaches al habola hakriv karban Hashem. If you are going to offer something to God, shela yirtze behisnasis, it cannot come from you wanting to be unique. It cannot. A gift for God is not, cannot come from that place of you wanting to do something special. God doesn't want that. That is not a gift. Leo is kavoya mechaverik, because you want to stand out, you want to do something remarkable. That is not a gift. Rak lahachnis atzmoi leo is peshova im kol Yisrael. What God wants is when everybody wants to be with everybody, right? And so the verse says, Odam ki yakriv mikem korban, a person who sacrifices from among you. If I want to do something for God, and I want to do something special, it's not because I want to be special, it's because I want God to be special. I want to say on the part of the human race, God, you're special. Not I want the human race to say, Hershey, you're so special, right? And this is how the book of Vayikra begins. So it has to come from that place of generosity. It's really not about me. And then the pasuk ends, Min ha-boker, min ha-tzoin, takrivu es korbanchem, you should offer your sacrifices from the cattle and the sheep and the goats. Takrivu. Why does it say takrivu? It could say Adam, a man who wants to offer an offering, should bring in the singular yakriv. Why takrivu, which is plural? If we're talking to each individual who wants to offer an offering, then the verse is incorrect. But it doesn't just say once, it says takrivu, you plural, should sacrifice es korban chem, your plural sacrifices. So the Ishbitzer says like this, takrivu, you should offer, haynu kol echod miyisrael hadoyrish be'emes, every Jew who really, really emes, truthfully, wants to do something, l'shem shemayim, for the sake of heaven, which is to say for God's sake. Everybody who really, really has a desire, then God makes that person have a child who is a chochem or a talmud chochem. And it doesn't mean necessarily a physical birth, but that journey of looking for God gives birth to something good in the world. It has to be emes. It has to be l'shem shemayim. It's not about, again, it's not about the self. It's about God, right? You know, we live in a world, it's so easy to be self-centered in this world, right? You know, one of the basic questions we ask ourselves, you know, why did the Holocaust happen to us, right? And there's no answer to it, right? There's certainly no good answer to it, right? Anything you answer to that question is like stupid. And you know why there's no answer to that question? Because it's the wrong question. Because it's about us, right? Why did it happen to us? We're the center of the world. Don't you know the Jews are the, I mean, it's like, that's the problem with the question, and that's the reason it doesn't have an answer, right? The real question is, why did it happen to God? Or rather, why did God do it to himself? That's already a whole other question. There are many answers. They're none of them nice, comfortable answers, but there are answers, right, that make sense. And a lot of our questions don't have answers because they're framed incorrectly, because they put us at the center of the world. Why is it happening to me? Maybe it's not happening to me. Maybe the answer is it's not happening to me. It's happening to God, who is the center of the world. When I go looking for God as the center of the world, then I have children who are able to spread the light. Because that's the meaning of Chochem and Talmud Chochem, right? Somebody who has wisdom, which is Chochmah, something from nothing. V'zeh gam inyan ha-posuk, and this is also the meaning of the verse in Malachi, oz nidbiru yirei Hashem ish al re'ehu, then they were spoken, those who fear God, one to his friend, v'yakshev Hashem v'yishma, and God hearkened, paid attention, and listened, v'yikosu b'sefer zikoren l'fonav, and it was written in a book of memory, in a book of remembrance before him, Liyirei Hashem ulechoshvei shmoi, to those who fear God and esteem His name. It's, you know, there's such a thing as people who esteem the name of God. Right? It's very precious. Right? There are those who fear God, stand in awe of the presence of God. It's very precious. But when people are talking to one another, that's most precious. Oz nidbiru yirei Hashem ish el re'ehu. And the word nidbiru, it's a strange word. Nidbiru, it's almost a hif'il. It's as they were spoken of. It's almost, if we talk about friends, nidbiru, it's like I'm talking of you and you are talking of me. And we are talking to each other. That's really intimate. So the Ishbitzer says, Sefer Zikorin, what does it mean, the book of memory? Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of God. Hu kishechoykeik hadova b'toich libo is Yisrael. When we talk about God's book of remembrance, that is the heart of the Jew, where God is writing, carving things. You know, we have this idea that on Rosh Hashanah, God brings out this huge ledger, and you know, everybody's written in it, every life is written in it, and it's either in the black or in the red, right? And this is a model that we have of like God being this celestial IRS, and he does this audit once a year. Out come the books. Are you paid up? Are you in the red? You know, it's a marvelous system of social control, but it's not what it means. The Ishbitzer says, there's only the heart, right? Am I written into your heart? Are you written into my heart? The Sefer HaZichroinois that we talk about on Yom Kippur and Rosh Hashanah, that they bring out the Sefer HaZichroinois v'me'elav yikore, and it reads itself. It's not, it gets read from. It reads itself because God looks into our heart. What is carved there? That's the book of memory. How does it come about that we are carved into each other's hearts? Because we have generous feelings for one another. Gam l're'ehu sheyashpia gam l're'ehu mehatoyv asher zocher mehashem izbar. You know, if I have been given access to the abundance, if I've been given a life, if I've been given eyes to see, ears to hear, if I've been given a mouth with which to eat and taste food, I want to share, I want everybody else to have. I have generosity of spirit. I don't want to be the only one who has these gifts. I want everybody to have these gifts. That's the beginning of the generosity of spirit about which it says, Az nidbiru ish el re'ehu. What does it mean? If my desire is true, we talked about earlier, if I'm really looking for God, you know how you can know if I'm really looking for God? If I want what I have achieved in my work to be cheap, and everybody should have it. And that's how we see all the great things that come to the world, right? Somebody can spend a lifetime working on one little piece of an equation, a formula, right? A lifetime. Breaks his head right open, right? And then it's written down on a piece of paper, and then the whole world has it, right? I mean, you can think of Bertrand Russell, or Einstein, or, you know, any of the, you know, in out their world, it's easy to see, because here we have Ishbits, we're learning Ishbits. These are things which were never said before in the history of the world. Once somebody has forged the path, broken away through, you know, forced their life, you know, into like an obsessive pursuit of a certain thing, then what? Then it's easy for everybody else. Because it's, if it's MS, the way of the Baal Shem Tov, right? After the Baal Shem Tov, it's easy, right? It's like, it was always there, wasn't it? Isn't this how it always was? And the answer is no, it's not how it always was. Now it's like this because the Baal Shem Tov did it like this. And now everybody, anybody, has access to this path. And this is a sign that it's divine, right? Because the first one is hard, and then it goes, that is the prayer. What was the Baal Shem Tov praying all this time? That he should reach Nirvana? No, he's doing it on behalf of us, for us. He didn't even think of himself, right? He's thinking of God, he's thinking of us. And every spiritual path has to be like that. And that is the generosity of spirit that is that's what tests whether it's real. And that's the meaning of as nidburu yirei Hashem, when they are spoken of. In other words, when those who fear God are talking about each other in this way, vayakshiv Hashem vayishma, and God listens and hearkens and listens, haynu lefanois lemale ritzoine, God turns around, lifnois, he turns his face, lemale b'moli umsu shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with the full measure of what God can give, right? Because when that person approaches God, God opens all the gates, and the flow, the shefa that comes out is God-sized, right? Not human-sized. And it flows to fill the whole world. Then God, when that person breaks through, then God shares that with everybody. I will write it on their hearts. And that's why it says, God writes it in the book of memory, which is the hearts of the Jewish people. This is the meaning of this verse. Odom ki yakriv, a person who will sacrifice mikem korban, from among you. V'takrivu loshin rabim, with the, you know, and it's plural. Takrivu es korbanchem, you plural will offer your sacrifices plural. Kmo shenirish mitzvah, as we learn in the Torah's kehanim, melamed shebo minitvus tzibur, whenever the Torah commands that an offering be brought, a burnt offering, it has to be paid for. If it's a public festival or a Shabbos or whatever it is, it has to be paid for. You know, one Kohen can't say, oh, I'd like to pay for that. It has to come from monies that were donated by the entire community. Because that's the meaning. That's what God wants. God wants to be invited to come not just into the individual, but into the collective. And that's the beginning of the book of Vayikra. These are the first pesukim, the first verses in this Sedra. So, before going further, I wanted to bring another Torah, which comes from also the Me'er Shiloach, but this is not from our week's Sedra, but from the Gemara at the end of Brochus. The Gemara says, Hiskinu, they made a takona, a decision, a ruling, a fixing, She'yashoyel es shleim chaveri b'shem, that when a person greets somebody else, he should use the name of God. Shenemar, as it is written, Vayoyme and Boyaz. This is in the book of Ruth. He said, Lakoitrim, to the harvesters, Adonai Mochem, God with you. That is how he greeted people. So Boyaz, he was the Shoifet, he was the leader of this, he was the head of the Sanhedrin and so on. And this was his psak. And since then, we've been using the name of God, and in fact the name of God that we use is Sholem. Sholem is one of the names of God. We don't say it in a mikveh, in a holy place. We don't say it in a mokem metunef. It's not one of the seven names which you're not allowed to rub out, but it's one of the holy names. Sholem Aleichem. The person answering already says Aleichem Sholem because he doesn't say the name of God first, right? You know, this comes from Boaz, who was descended from Peretz, who was descended from Yehuda. Peretz, Rom, Chetzrin, Aminodov, Nachshon, Salmon, Boaz, Oved Yishai, David. This is the Yichus, the genealogy. Right? So Boaz was the son of Salmon, the son of Nachshon, the son of Aminodov, the son of Rom, the son of Peretz, the son of Yehuda. This idea of Sholem, and this idea of greeting, this idea of seeing the divine in the other person, the idea of desire, we see it by Yehuda and Tamar, right? So the Ishbitzin says, Mashoma Hiskinu, why does the Gemara say Hiskinu? They fixed it, they decided, they ruled. Vloyoma Hiskin, why doesn't it say he decided? Because let's face it. This was Boaz himself who decided that people should greet each other with the name of God. So why does it say they decided? It's written, Aznidberu Yirei Hashem. Then they were spoken of, those who fear God, Ishal Re'ehu, one to his friend. Vayakshev Hashem, God attended, Vayishma, and he listened, Vayikos B'Sefer Zikurin Lefanav, and it was written in the book of memory. And so on, he's quoting again the verse from Malachi that we quoted earlier in the previous Torah. Hainu. So this is another take on the same idea that we heard before. Kashin nidborim echod le'echod limtza hachasorin. When a person talks to somebody else, because it's like, you know, going into therapy, right? Why do I talk it through with somebody? Because there's something inside me that's not right. Something inside me doesn't feel whole, feels ill, feels sick, feels broken, right? But I can't put my finger on it because my life is so full of confusion. I talk it through with somebody else. This is the meaning of Oz Nidbiru. Then they were spoken of, right? When I talk to somebody who is at that level of what we call today a therapist or a counselor, it's like I am being spoken of. When people come to do this, umevakshim ad shemoitzim ashloma, and they come looking until they find completion and wholeness, lechesroinam, for what's missing. In other words, when a person digs deep down to find out how they've been filling that empty hole, which should be the God-shaped hole, which shouldn't be filled with anything. When a person comes and clears away all the stuff to reach that place where they experience the divine longing, which is the Tzimtzum, which is God in the world. When a person reaches down to get to that place, Ali Dei Eitzim Edivrei Torah, through talking to somebody who tells him what the Torah says, and they work through it to find that place. Then Vayakshiv Hashem Vayishma, God attends and listens. Haynu Kzehu Reach Nichoyach Lashem. That is God's greatest pleasure. Reach Nichoyach. We hear in the book of Leviticus again and again a good smelling offering, a fragrance divine. And what does it mean? God has a nose with a olfactory bulb. What does it mean that it's a sweet-smelling offering? It's a pleasure, right? The Ishbitzin says, what is the pleasure of God? It's when we dig down inside us and we find out that we really only longing for God. That's really all we wanted. And we had just covered it up with all kinds of stuff. Then that's what God writes in the book of memory. When any one person digs into their real desire, everybody gets the benefit of the shefa that flows. And something new comes into the world. everybody experiences a new way of God, of experiencing God, of longing for God, of the whole divine man, divine human interaction and dynamic. And the way the people got at this, when two people talk it through, it's like when a therapist and a client are sitting there working through their stuff. Everybody in the whole world experiences that healing. Because God writes it in the book of memory, and that book of memory is the heart of everybody. And this was Boaz's genius that he brought to the world. Boaz just loved companionship. He loved chevra. He loved hanging out. He hated being alone. He hated solitude and you know, navel gazing. You know, Boaz was a rebbe of Hasidim, of people. Boaz just wanted to spread the joy. Right? But you know, he was mortally afraid. Maybe it's not 100% for God's sake. Maybe it's because I'm scared of being alone. Maybe it's because I don't like being alone because I don't like my thoughts. I mean, that's all rubbish. That's not for God. That's about you. L'shem Shemayim means because I want to be with people because I want to be with God, because other people, when they speak to me, that's God speaking to me. And so on. Right? Boaz loved companionship, but he was afraid. He needed to test himself. L'chein hiskin v'higde atzmoy. So that was the boundary that he made for himself, a fence. Shemiyad shiyiras chaveri. As soon as he sees somebody he loves, hadibah harishin, yes, she shall b'Hashem. God with you? To invoke God at every meeting with somebody he loves. And it was like a mirror bouncing off himself. Am I with God? Is this about God, or is this about some ego thing with me, right? Some unhealthy, right? Is it coming from my dependence on another person? Or is it just my joy, my simcha, at greeting another person? So they decided to make sure that they hadn't been disconnected at that moment. It's, you know, in Ishbitz we don't have time now to talk about, but the real meaning of sin is forgetting. So that was what Boaz was doing when he made this takana, this ruling that the first thing you do when you meet somebody is see if you're remembering God. And that was something that Boaz was doing in order to check and assay and see whether it's really emes. If it's really his kavona, his intention is always, you know, I can do two things. I can do a mitzvah. I see somebody who needs something, and you know, I go shopping, and on the street is a man who sits outside the store and he has no legs, right? And he's like sitting on a milk crate, and he has two crutches, and his beard is flicked, and his coat is zerrissen, is torn, and I can't walk past him without giving him some money, right? I'm a long way from being gracious. That's not gracious. That's not chanun. That's not chesed, right? It's really about me. It hurts me to see somebody like that, and I'm just glad I'm not like that. And Baruch Hashem, you know, it's like, let me share something and let him ward off the evil by giving him a dollar, right? I mean, that's not really real. That's not l'shem Shemayim. If it's l'shem Shemayim, if my generosity is real, it wouldn't have to be invoked by somebody who's in a tragic situation. So everything that we do, that we think to ourselves, wow, this is so high, this is so holy, this is gewalt, you know, we need to take another look and see whether it's really so great, or whether there's another emes, another truth that we can go looking for. And after that, after Boaz had figured out this way of doing things, that was that he was clear to him that when he saw his friend and he got full of joy and jumped up to say hi and give him a hug, that there was, God was still there. As Hiskinu, that's Hiskinu, they decided. All the Jews. You see, that's the thing. That was, Boaz struggled all his life to break through there into that place where, you know, the companionship of others becomes like the divine presence and so on. And the Shekhinah is there when people are joyous together and so on. That was Boaz's whole life's work. But for us, as soon as Boaz had achieved that, God flowed through into everybody, and we all can experience that. And that's the meaning of Hiskinu. They decided. Who's they? We, all of us. We realized that that is something that we can all do, and that we can all see a meeting with another person as a meeting with the divine. And so we say Shalom. V'zehu Hiskinu L'shen Rabim, and that's why it's described in the plural. Thank you.